Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. We've got my very good friend, Mr. Willie Cantu, former, or retired, should I say, retired police officer here in San Antonio and law enforcement expert. Willie, welcome to the show. Give a shout out to the folks.
Hey, George. Seems like it's been a while since we've had our last
right?
Maybe a couple of weeks, I don't know, but appreciate you having me on again. And, you know, we just keep on getting good information to talk about.
There's lots to talk about, that's for sure.
Oh, Jesus, lots. But I want to give a shout out to some guys. I was invited by some friends, some police officer friends of mine, specifically Tim Garcia, who works the bike patrol. I kind of messed with them on Facebook about not inviting me out to the last one. I just like to mess around with people. So he specifically called about them being at Cigar International tonight, and I just couldn't make it. My daughter had cheer, my wife was tired, I had to go pick her up, and so, you know, and then we had this, so I couldn't go out there. But I want to give a shout out to those guys. Sorry I missed y'all. Thanks for the invite, Tim, and have fun. blow some steam off.
Yeah, that's good. I would imagine that there's a lot of steam for police officers nowadays to let out.
That's all I hear, man. That's all I hear.
Well, let's talk about one of the things that officers are letting steam off about. And of course, that is our local George Soros funded district attorney, Joe Gonzalez. Let him go, Joe, as he is called by some folks. And the most recent situation is a memo that was leaked to us, and we, you and I, looked at it, we analyzed it. It is a memo that came out that apparently it is going to decriminalize, or at least allow for some drug problems, some drug offenses, to be let go. Specifically, let me make sure that I've got it. Let me explain it, and then I'll ask you to talk. Let's talk about it. Apparently, there was a Bexar County crime lab meeting with some police officers and some folks from the DA's office, where the crime lab said that there was a backlog of cases. And they were never going to get through with it. That's what we are told. Next thing we know, the DA has sent out a memo, and the memo specifically says that they're going to do certain things differently. Doesn't call out the Bexar County Crime Lab for its negligence in the backlog, but apparently follows along with what the Bexar County Crime Lab arbitrarily established that they would and would not do. Now, let's talk first of all, how important is the Bexar County Crime Lab to police officers and the casework that they do?
Extremely important. Without them testing evidence, specifically narcotics, as positive for the drugs that are illegal, then there's no case. When I was there, and still, of course, the officers, they get lots of things that are drug-related, whether they be completely illegal, like cocaine and heroin and fentanyl. Well, fentanyl is also prescribed, but then they get prescription-type drugs, pills, things like that, that we field test out in the, in the field, by a certified detective, and it's a presumptive test is what they call it. You got this little testing packet, and you put some of the drugs into that packet, and you break these vials of whatever chemicals, and it has to turn a certain color, and then that kind of tells you that, yes, those are narcotics, but it doesn't give you how much of the narcotic is within that, whatever that, it could be a pill, it could be some powder or whatever. So you have to send it to the lab, and they'll actually do a whole analysis on it. And you know, even if, because they take cocaine, let's say pure cocaine, they cut it up. Of course, good quality cocaine is cut up, and but not too diluted to have enough of the drug, you know, to make it feel good for the user. But even if it, you know, is cut up way down and it still tests positive for cocaine, it's still a felony. Wow. Or heroin, you know, it's still that. The federal system, however, they do what they call a Q&Q quality and control, they test it even further because they have different rules to follow as far as possessing narcotics. And of course, if it's a federal amount of narcotics, it's a lot. So yeah, and that kind of too.
Yeah, let me ask you, because the memo indicates that the Bexar County Crime Lab is not going to test misdemeanor amounts of drugs unless that they are attached to an underlying offense. Okay. Now, we already know that the DA already dismisses misdemeanors if a felony is involved. He'll go after the felony, he'll ignore the misdemeanor. So if the DA follows through on this idea of not prosecuting any narcotics less than, well, let's say less than 4 grams, unless they're tied to something, isn't that decriminalizing the narcotic? Isn't that going against the law?
Yeah, pretty much, and it's under the guise of being more efficient. To, you know, they always use that, you know, we're not going to do much with the smaller type crimes, nonviolent crimes.
to save money.
Yeah. Well, to save money, but you know, it's like that idiocy when they talk about police officers. We don't want them conducting just regular traffic stops so they can be available to deal with the bigger crimes. They don't realize that a lot of the smaller traffic stops do lead to the bigger crimes and solving the bigger crimes. And the same way as here with narcotics. This deal about misdemeanor amount of narcotics attached to an underlying offense. I mean, if it's a misdemeanor and just a misdemeanor, let's say there's several offenses that are just misdemeanors, I doubt they're going to do anything with that anyway. You know, under what I just said, well, it's a nonviolent crime. You know, or they'll give them probation. You know, slap on the hand. But if right now, and even, and I'm sure it hasn't changed when I was there, if I arrest somebody for a felony crime and they had a misdemeanor amount of, say, pills, and the overall weight didn't amount to a felony, they will dismiss the pills and they'll destroy them.
Wow.
Now they'll claim, and I've been told this several times, well, we'll use that in the punishment phase. No, they don't. They don't consider that, because they know that a lot of these crooks that are committing crimes are drug, you know, involved with drugs, whether they be addicts or close to it or whatever. So it's really nothing, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
And so a gram of cocaine or heroin or the things that I've mentioned, that is a felony amount, you know, and the crime or the penalties of the crime increases as the amount of drugs you have. But if a gram of say cocaine is a felony, but they're not going to take it. It has to be over 4 grams. So person gets away, but you can still arrest him and he can still resist you because he doesn't know.
Yeah, right.
Or she.
Well, let me ask you this. How many times when you were an officer did you stop somebody that had some drug on them, and whether it was misdemeanor or felony, if they had drugs on them, and that led to something else?
Oh, lots of times.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't, you know, no one's asked me that question, really. I could put an amount, but it's a lot. Uh-huh. It's not, no, just a few. It is a lot.
So there is a connection then, huh?
100%. Every, you know, property crimes are most of the time linked to drug addiction. Uh-huh. And drugs. And it is, you know, robberies, thefts, which is, we're having, you know, out the freaking wazoo. lately, burglaries, it's to feed their drug habits. These people don't work, and if they did, they don't make enough money to feed their habits. So they have to supplement, you know, that somehow. And you know, it's happened all the time, but we're in this world of feelings. And like you and I were talking about earlier, these anti-police activists, and you know, a lot of them are in our city government, feel bad for these people and don't think we should put them in jail for their possessions of narcotics because they might have a drug addiction and we need to treat them. Okay, well, get on it. Go, you know,
get them off the street and do it. Yeah, get them off the street and do it.
Well, you know, buy the Alamo Dome and make it one big drug rehabilitation center. You know, I don't care. I won't work there, but by all means, do it. But in the meantime, while you're trying to figure out how to solve it, these people are committing crimes. Yeah. And the public and good citizens are the victims. And we don't have the tolerance for it. And it's getting real thin. As you know, you and I both know.
Yeah. Well, what about this other situation? In the memo, it mentions that the Bexar County Crime Lab, they are not going to test misdemeanor prescription pills, and that includes fentanyl-laced pills that are flooding Bexar County. I mean, isn't that is dangerous in my opinion? Because, I mean, there's so many damn fentanyl pills floating into our community, and we're not gonna test them. So therefore, we're not gonna know if they're fentanyl or not, and or where they came from, whether they came from a dealer or I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, you know, and I'll have to maybe somewhat agree with them because there is so much what you're saying.
Ah.
The system is flooded. And that is the drug of choice nowadays. Everything is laced with fentanyl.
Wow.
And some sort of it. You know, fentanyl is a really dangerous narcotic. And it's small amounts can be deadly to people. But when they're, let's say, on a class A or class B amount of prescription pills, let's just say fentanyl that was prescribed, they're not considering the dangerousness of the drug. I used to say this like about marijuana. If we caught somebody with, say, 10 grams of what we call Reggie, regular weed, the old weed you and I both mm-hmm. grew up with.
Yeah.
Because now there's hydroponic stuff that's out there, which has a higher content of THC, very, very high. But if we caught someone with... say 10 grams of each, the penalty is the same. They don't care whether the concentration of the drug inside of it is, or you know whatever is the addictive part of it, how much it is, it's the same. That's why the feds will test it for the purity of it, because it, you know, especially in large amounts, then it makes a difference. But I can almost understand why they're not, because everything nowadays has got something like that on it. It's like the new wave of drugs.
Wow. And so, you know, this this issue of the DEA agreeing with the Bexar County Crime Lab that they won't do this and they won't do that, the impact that it's going to have on the streets is potentially more drug addicts out there, right?
Yeah, and you know we can put these people in jail all day long. They're not going to stop doing drugs.
Right.
We know that. We know that.
We could start looking like Portland. We could start looking like Portland and Los Angeles pretty soon.
Oh, San Antonio is always trying to keep up with the Joneses. We're trying to screw up just like city, because it's run by Democrats. I have never seen a group of people try so hard to continuously push an agenda and ideas for it that are not working.
Right.
And with proof, like lots of proof in the nation that shows that stuff doesn't work. and they continue to do it. Almost like it's got to. Let's keep going. You know what I mean?
Maybe it will work in San Antonio.
Sure. I mean, it's going to get to a point in San Antonio, like what's going on, let's say, in San Francisco, these bigger cities that we read about in the nation, Chicago, where we're going to go, what happened? Well, what happened was you didn't do anything, and you followed the guidelines of these idiots. You continuously vote in Democrats into city government who hire city managers that are Democrats and activists, and we end up like this.
Oh, my gosh. It really is a situation where they seem to want to duplicate and what's going on in these big cities and get a different result.
isn't that the definition of insanity?
It is. It really is. Then there's this craziness, these leftist political supporters at the city hall that... they're sympathetic towards the drug users and low-level drug dealers because, again, and we will say it, because they say that the laws are racist because they impact on minorities disproportionately, and therefore the drug laws are racist. I mean, this is something that Gonzalez truly believes. Your thoughts?
Well, we keep going back to this deal about minorities. San Antonio is mostly minorities.
That's all it is. Yeah.
Okay. So the white person is the minority now, and the blacks are too, in a sense. But of course, the blacks commit a lot of the crime, and that's not me just thinking about that. That's in the nation. A very small percentage.
That is a fact.
It is a fact.
Yep. That is a fact.
That a very small percentage of the African American people commit a large amount of the crime, but they keep on feeling bad for their plight, you know, which, because then it goes further, well, why are they addicted to drugs? Well, because they're illiterate,
they're oppressed,
they were black, well, their family had to have been slaves, and yeah, all this stuff that just, okay, at what point are we going to stop feeling sorry for their plight? Because there's also a lot of good people that pull themselves out of that,
out of poverty, right?
Yeah, out of poverty and become really good people, and that's what this nation was supposed to be doing for people. But you know, the Democrats have figured out that if as long as we keep people dependent on them, then they will vote for them. And as you see, it kind of is working. But also, you know, surprisingly, some of them are like going, "Wait a minute,
yep.
Even minorities don't want this." Wave of illegal aliens coming in.
Yep, that's right.
It is what, you know, it's showing in the polls, at least. You know, well, of course, polls are.
And it seems to me like the majority, like there is a majority of San Antonio police officers who are minority, who are Hispanic. So, I don't know.
100%.
Yeah, so I'm not 100%. Sure exactly who's going, which minority here. I am not sure which one is the oppressor and which one is the oppressed in that aspect of it.
Yeah, they don't know themselves either. They're so screwed up in their thinking that, you know, if you give way to one thing, it gives way to so many other things that they didn't expect, and then it gets out of their reach. Mm-hmm. And it leads to some sort of a really bad landslide of things that it is hard to catch up. It's like digging a hole. And you just keep on digging and digging, you know, you gain one little step and you end up falling back several.
Yeah.
I keep saying it's a character of people. They have no business involved in public safety.
Let me ask you, let me change the subject a little bit here, because before we let you go, but let me ask you, because there a brand new article came out today from KSAT, who has been on the KSAT TV here in San Antonio. Their reporters have been on the district attorney, Joe Gonzalez. I mean, big time. They've been after him. The latest report says that the DA's office wanted to recuse itself from prosecuting Eric Cantu. Eric Cantu is the kid that was shot by a police officer when he tried to avoid getting arrested, and he got shot It became a high-profile case. The police officer was fired, was prosecuted, was persecuted. Eric Cantu later went on to get arrested three times. More after he had been shot, after he got well, by the way, including one time for car theft, which is why they were after him in the first place. So now the DA wants to recuse himself from an investigation that the state has been looking into, and they're trying to avoid. It seems to me, and this is my thinking, it seems to me that once again the DA is trying to hide something, and therefore that's why he's trying to recuse himself. What are your thoughts?
Of course, everything that they're doing is got some sort of hidden agenda into it. And as far as Kay said, I will give them kudos for actually going after Joe Gonzalez, and they're still, you know, on him about things, even though they've tried to keep quiet about, they won't give him interviews very much anymore. But and I want to get one thing straight, or a couple of things straight, about this incident, because it keeps on coming. I've read several articles in the news about it, and one thing they failed to mention is that this kid, who was 17 at the time, and by age standards within the law, he's an adult, and he had evaded arrest the night before from this young officer. He was an officer on probation, meaning he was out fresh within a year on the streets, who saw him again, which is pretty good for a rookie to spot the crook you were looking for the day before. You know, that's what we want these officers to do out in public, is to look for criminality. So he sees them and he wants to go identify him. And when he opened the door on him, now people will question his tactics. The element of surprise works. So I think that's what he was doing. He opened the door to try to get a jump on him. They're like, okay, I got you now. Well, instead of complying like everybody is supposed to with the police, Eric Cantu throws it in the reverse. And as he speeds backwards, he hits the officer with the door. So basically he assaults him. And I believe he got bruised. So at the time, he probably thought it was serious bodily injury or attempted to kill him, and maybe attempted murder. I don't think he actually thought of that in his mind, you know, with that verbiage, but he probably felt like his life was in danger. And he shot at him, used deadly force on him. And yes, what happened, it was because of this guy's age. It got into the news, and they made it seem like he was just some poor innocent kid in the parking lot eating his McDonald's.
Yes.
Probably a happy meal, you know what I mean? Probably playing Grimace toy, you know, is what they try to make him out to be. And yeah, he got shot, and yes, his life was in jeopardy. He almost died, but the DA dropped the charges. And talk about, again, being sneaky and slick. The DA said, well, we're dropping the charges so the family could be by his side while he is recovering, or, you know, when he's in between this life and death battle. I almost understand that, you know, in a sense. But once you see him pull out and he lived, well, now you file the charges because they're still good. But he never went back to it, and I'm pretty sure they had all intentions of not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I guarantee you, the Wren Collective was involved in those decisions.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, they were also involved in him recusing himself.
I would imagine, in my thinking right now, one of the things that he doesn't want, that's why he's recusing himself, there are probably more memos, because KSAT has already found one memo that referred to him getting counseling from the DA, getting counseling from the Wren Collective, this liberal group out of Austin, getting counseling from them on how to handle both the Bernard case, which is this one, the police officer, as well as a couple of other ones against a couple of other police officers, which have been recently dismissed. And I think he's just trying to hide things again.
Well, I do, yeah, because it was the attorneys that are representing Brennan, is his name, James Brennan, have asked for all the correspondence between the Wren Collective and Joe Gonzalez.
Right.
I want say, this is how I feel, that they think that if they recuse themselves, they won't have to give that up.
Right.
Which, again, they're trying to hide stuff. Mm-hmm. And you saw a judge just denied that. Mm-hmm. So they're going to have to come up with something. What I'm hoping for is if he realizes his back is against a wall, they've been caught on their ridiculousness, their BS, and they're going to continue to hold on to it as long as they can, and maybe at the last minute dismiss it.
Right.
I'm hoping that for this officer. The issue is, and I'm, you know, you and I have talked about this, the chief immediately fired this officer because he could. People don't know this. The chief can fire officers on probation for anything. Anything. He may not like his haircut. He can walk in that day and fire him right then and there. He may be a good officer up and coming, and he can fire him that day, and the officer has no recourse because he's on probation.
Wow.
So that's why the chief fired him, and also he did that to silence the crybabies from asking him, well, why is he on a paid vacation, which they keep on saying, and he wiped his hands of him.
Right.
And the other thing is, and I've mentioned this before, the chief absolutely hates when an officer shoots at a moving vehicle. This has been since day one when he started in San Antonio. He hates it. He can't understand why, but he doesn't realize that there's millions of scenarios that might require an officer to do that. You have to stay open-minded with it. So Gonzalez is up to his, you know, sneaky old ways, and I'm sure being guided by the Ren Collective. I guarantee you.
And this is another loss for him. I mean, that's what I want to emphasize. This is another loss for him. I mean, he cannot recuse himself. He cannot. He's going to have to face the music. So I mean,
well, now that you're not kind of brought this up, George, and I want to know where the San Antonio Police Officers Association is on. If you mentioned the other two, because you said this is a loss for him, he lost the first two cases against the officers that he brought up on for aggravated assault by police officers on a federal felon convicted murder. He lost them.
Yep.
And the news had stories about it, not nearly enough about when they got arrested. But where's the association celebrating this? He hasn't talked about it. Where's the police department going, hey, great, let's welcome them back? Now they have to fight for their jobs back.
You know, so it's got to be so stressful on a police officer to go through what these guys have gone through.
It is. I see it and I hear it every day, George, every day. This isn't me embellishing. There's no reason for it. Everybody. I spoke to a kid a couple of days ago on the weekend. He's only got 16 years on. I say a kid, you know. I knew the kid when he was brand new. I mean, to me, he's still a kid, but yeah. A good officer. He went to one of those retirement seminars to just check it out already.
Wow.
At 16 years.
Wow.
That's kind of
Yeah, we're gonna need to close it out. We've got about a minute to go.
Yeah.
What's your message as we leave? What's your message on this show that we're finishing up? What's your message to the folks?
Well, you know, I like to keep it simple. You know, and here we are once again talking about Joe Gonzalez being unethical, not following the law like he's supposed to. I mean, he's pretty much, you know, the professor of law in San Antonio, right, or in Bexar County, and he is just finding ways to circumvent it. He is letting people go with slaps on the hand, or sometimes with no slaps on the hand, in the interest of social justice. Quit voting this idiot in. Y'all did it. Get rid of him. And voting another Democrat into office will not fix it.
You got it. That's true.
There's my message.
You got it. Folks, George Rodriguez and Mr. Willie Cantu talking to you from San Antonio. Willie, thanks for, as usual, we'll chat again on another in another week or so, sooner than this.
Yeah, I mean, we both get busy doing other things, but George, I always enjoy you having me on, and I appreciate you trusting me.
You got it, buddy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez and Willie Cantu talking to you from San Antonio.